The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Hope I can share a few thoughts that are of the Lord. I was sitting there this morning thinking about one of the things that plague us so much is our deceitful heart. You know, the Bible says the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the depths that our heart will try to deceive us, there's really no end to that. It will try to deceive us in every aspect of our life, every relationship that we have, every thought that we have. The heart is there whispering in our ear to deceive us, to lead us astray, to get us on the wrong path and get us to thinking incorrectly. And sometimes we think we are spot on with our thinking and we're very deceived because that's the way deception works. When you're deceived, you don't know that you're deceived. You think you're right on. And one of the ways it deceives us many times is to maybe put thoughts in our head, feelings in our head towards another brother or sister. I don't know if you've ever felt that before, but you begin to think, well, you know, I don't know. Why is he being that way or she being that way or why are they acting that way or why are they doing that? And your heart begins to whisper to you and tries to reason with you. And the end result of that is not good for whoever you're thinking about. You're going to think thoughts about them, and you're going to, in some kind of deceitful way, conjure up their motives, and you're going to make some assumptions about why they may be acting away, blah, 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 whatever. That's your heart doing that to you, your deceitful heart. Let me tell you the remedy for that is be around them. Amen. Go to that person and be around them, and I'm telling you that from experience. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been convinced that somebody was either out to get me or had bad thoughts towards me or just, you know, didn't like me or whatever thoughts I may have had. And then I would be around them for a period of time and I would think, you know what, they are nothing like what I thought in my head. You know, maybe somebody that I was very good friends with, and then something seems to kind of get off track here, and I begin to make assumptions about because I'm listening to my heart. Then I get back around them, and I think, you know, I was wrong the whole time. Being around them is what fixed the whole thing. So I encourage you, and this is kind of a side note, but if there's issues with another brother or sister, just go be with them. Spend time with them, and I promise you, you'll see that your heart has deceived you greatly. But it's the same way we do people the same way we do Jesus. We begin to have thoughts about Jesus in our head and who he is and how he operates and what he does. And all the time, it's our heart kind of leading us astray. Maybe we begin to think that Jesus is a very weak Savior, a very mild and passive Savior. And our heart tells us maybe he's just not as powerful as people are claiming he is. And we get a very distorted view of who Jesus is, who God the Father is, because our heart wants to do that to us. Well, the remedy to that is spend some time with him. Amen. Read his word and figure out who he is and what he says, and you'll find out that he is not weak at all.
Right.
He is not a weak God, and he's not a weak Savior, and the Bible tells his armor is not so short that it can't save.
Amen.
But in John the 15th chapter here, very shortly, I'm going to look at an aspect of Jesus that maybe sometimes we don't realize that is part of who Jesus is. In John the 15th chapter, I'll start reading in about, I'll start reading maybe in verse 15 here. Up to this point, Jesus has said some things that we know very well about that greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He said those types of things. And Jesus says this. Now, he's talking specifically here to a small group of apostles, okay? And he says this to him. He says, but let me say this. You could apply this to any of his children, okay? He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. I want to stop there for just a second. I want you to think about the magnitude of what he just said. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and says, I have called you friends.
Amen.
Now, he is definitely a Savior. He's very powerful. He's very mighty. He's miraculous. He does all types of wonderful, great things. But yet the Son of God condescends down to man's state and says, I've called you friends. Now, for me, my friends, and you know your friends, are very special to you. Your friends are people that you think about. Your friends are people that you desire to be with. You want to talk to them. You know, you call them on the phone, you're texting them, and maybe you send them cards, and you want to know what's going on in their life, and you want to share what's going on in your life with them. There's just something special about a friend. And it's very comforting to know that you've got friends. And here Jesus says, I've called you servants. He said, but from here on, I'm calling you friends. To think that the Son of God has the thoughts towards us that we would have towards our friends is very humbling to me. Amen. To think that the Son of God would do that. And he goes on and he says this, and I want you to listen very closely. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now he's talking to his apostles here, but you could apply this to all of his children. Right. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And then he says this, he says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I want you to notice there what he says in that last verse. The Lord says this to these apostles. He says, listen, if you were of the world would love you. Right. They would put you on posters. They'd put you on TV, if that was applicable nowadays. They would elevate you and praise you and think you were the greatest thing since sliced bread. If you were of the world. He says, but you're not of the world. And the reason you're not of the world is because I've chosen you out of the world. Now, I know this is a real silly example. All right, and I know it's very limited, but just hang with me here because this is the way my simple mind thinks. You ever seen these movies, these alien movies? I'm not big on alien movies. They're kind of weird. I like some of them, I guess. But you ever seen these alien movies where maybe an alien comes down and he has like a human form and he's walking around like a human and everybody thinks he's human and it looks, you know, he talks human, but for some reason they catch him and they do all this and they just kind of crack him open and they realize that he's just a shell and there's a little alien robot in there controlling the man. I've seen that. I don't know what movie that is, but I've seen that before. So this little alien robot's controlling this man. What it was is he looked like he was of this world, but he wasn't of this world because there was something inside of him that proved that he's not of this world at all. And that's very similar to the way it is with God's people. We're here and we've got this shell of flesh and this tabernacle of flesh that we live in, but there is something inside of us, and it's not a little alien robot running the controls. It's the Spirit of the living God that dwells inside of us that makes us not of this world. Amen. How does that get there? He puts it there. When does he put it there? When he's good and ready to put it there. Okay? For Paul, he put it on him. Saul, he put it in him on the road to Damascus. I believe the thief on the cross, he put it in him sometime hanging on that cross. And it changes us. Right. It should change us dramatically that people would look at us and say, they're really not of this world. There's something inside of them making them operate and function totally different when they should. And the world looks at that, and guess what the world does? They hate it. They don't like it. Why? Because whatever is inside of us, the Spirit of God that is inside of us is truth and it is light. What do truth and light do? They expose darkness. Light runs out darkness and truth exposes the lie. And the Bible tells us in several places that Jesus is the truth and the light. And we also hear that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. What does that mean? That the church should be the pillar that holds up Jesus Christ, who is the truth and the light, and when we do that, it shines into the unfruitful works of darkness and it reproves them, it exposes them. And guess what they don't like? To be exposed. The works of darkness do not want to be exposed, and they want to stay away from the light, and they don't want to have the truth put out there. And you can see it every day in society. The darkness and the wickedness of the world, they don't want that. But that's what Jesus Christ is, and that's what dwells in us. And if we walk bearing that fruit of Jesus Christ, that we're going to shed light on things and we're going to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, and they're going to hate us for it. But Jesus says, before they hated you, they hated me. And if you were of the world and all you had functioning motivating you were the things of the world, you'd fit right in with the world. He says, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And I'm thankful to know that there's something dwelling inside all of God's people that is light and that it is truth and that it makes us different. And in a sense, you know, a lot of times in the Bible, it talks about aliens being the unregenerate. Well, in a way, on this earth, in a way, we're kind of aliens because we don't even belong here. This is not our home. And the Bible talks about we're traveling through here. And listen, I appreciate Brother Fred's prayer because things get tough. Things get tough and we get sorrowful and we get afflicted and we get down. And it's comforting to me to know that there's something inside of us that is not of this world, that longs to be in a place that is not here. And as we travel through this world, to know there's an end to this matter. I'm the type of person that I always get a little bit chipper when the end of something difficult is coming, like a long road trip. I do not like to travel. I'm not a traveler. I like to be around home and stay at home. And, you know, we'll be driving somewhere, maybe 6 or 8 hours there, and I start out the trip, you know, like, 6 or 8 hours. How much longer? But when we get down to about 45 minutes, I'm a new person. I'm like, man, this is awesome. Traveling's not all that bad. You know, let's go. Because I've forgotten about all the aches and pains in the beginning. But listen, there's an end coming for us. Amen. And we're just traveling through here. And I'm going to share this with you. I shared just a piece of this yesterday afternoon. It's comforting to know that Jesus calls us friends. It's comforting to know that they hated him before they hated us. It's comforting to know that he dwells inside of us and he chose us out of this world. But we still suffer, don't we? But in chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And I shared this yesterday, thinking about the end of something, thinking about this life just being a vapor, just a short journey, and that we're strangers and pilgrims here, and we're homesick for that country. And I shared this yesterday when I was talking to Zion yesterday, that where we live, the place that we live, we're blessed to have enough land there that, you know, there's several places you could build houses around. And one thing that I've just been burdened to do and that I've had on my mind to do is to find places for my children to live. Now, they may not want to do that. They may marry somebody and move off to Timbuktu. I hope not, but they might. But my prayer is, and I pray with them frequently as we lay in bed at night, "Lord, I pray that you'll always keep us close in spirit and heart and in geographic location. I pray that we'll always be close, you know." And so I look at the place that we live on there, and I've had a mind to prepare a place for them, to prepare a place for them. So, yesterday morning, we got up, and I took Hank and I took Jack out, and I had two trees, and we went out and we dug holes in the rock hard ground because it hadn't rained much and it's dry. And we were digging these holes, and the boys were there helping me, and they're thinking, like, "Why are we planting these trees, Dad? Dad, why are we planting these trees?" Because we planted a bunch of them. Well, in my mind, I have a vision that one day my children will be grown, and I pray that they'll be married to godly spouses, and they're going to need a place to live. Well, for 20 years or 15 years or however many years, I've been cutting trails and clearing and planting trees and cutting trees and do all the types of things to prepare a place for them so they would say, "Hey, Dad, we're married. It's time for us to build a house. What do you think?" I'm going to say, "I've got a spot for you. I got a beautiful spot up on this hill that didn't have a lick of shade on it. But 20 years ago, I went through there and planted some trees so that we would have some shade. So when you sat in the afternoon sun with your kids and you were playing, you'd have a place that you could be shaded and you could have, it'd be cool and all this kind of stuff, and you wouldn't be burning up from the sun." I prepared a place for them. And I am preparing a place for them. And I'll continue to do that. And it's difficult sometimes. It's a lot of work, but I do it with tremendous joy. And they don't think about this too much, but as we drive through there on our gator or four-wheelers or something, and I ride by it, they don't see what I see. Because I look out through there, and I see a house, and I see trees that are going to be 30 feet taller than they are now, and I see this and that, and I see it in my head. And it brings me such joy. And the Lord says, "I've gone to prepare a place for you." And in the same way, the Lord says, "Listen, I know things are difficult right now. I know that you've got trials and you've got tribulations, but I can see something that you can't see. And I've labored for a place for you, and I've prepared it for you, and I'm going to come again and get you and take you there." Now, to know that there's an end of that matter is very encouraging to me. to know that He calls us friends, to know that He dwells inside of us, to know that He is such a presence in our life that the world says, I don't want anything to do with you, and the light and the truth that is beaming out of you for some reason they don't even understand. And I'm thankful that He went before us and He prepared a place for us. And I just imagine in my mind's eye that the Lord can see that now. He can see those mansions, and He can see right now the places that He's prepared for us, and I think His heart is overflowing with joy.
Amen.
Knowing one day that His children are going to rest there with Him forever. If I feel just a fraction of that, who knows what He feels about it.
Amen.
So thank you for your time, and I appreciate your attention.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.